that okay? Yeah, that's okay. Wonderful. Pastor Lynn.
Good morning. It's already a great day because God's in the house, and as we've heard, God is good. I was thinking as we were singing, oh God, oh God, oh God, may we not just sing these words. May they be truth to us. May they become our lives. May they not be empty words. And we just don't want empty words. We don't want to be clanging gongs. We want to be people who declare the truth, live the truth, and come into the freedom of the truth and carry that truth to others. So who sang this morning with conviction? I actually don't need to put your hands up, sorry. It was a rhetorical question, and I didn't even look to see who didn't. Because God sees and knows anyway. But when we sing with conviction and when we speak words of truth and faith, something productive and fruitful and supernatural comes forth. Yeah? And when we listen to the word and we hear the word, and we do the word, something changes in the governmental realms, in the spirit, and in our hearts and our lives, and the way that we outwork our faith. Because we're called to outwork our faith. There's that four-letter word that people don't like, W-O-R-K. However, we're called to outwork our faith. And if you've read the vision statement, we're a hard-working church. Because faith without work is dead, but also we are people who work in the power of the Holy Spirit. Not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, O God, we will work the works of faith. Amen. So that was just the preamble, really. I was thinking that we were singing and declaring some pretty awesome stuff. And Steve led the prayer meeting this morning and was speaking about praying confidently, knowing that God hears us. And as we worship confidently, we can be confident that God hears us. Let your kingdom be established here, we pray. That is a bold prayer. It's a kind of prayer and declaration I love to hear. Let your kingdom be established here, we pray. Glory. Let's pray together. Lift up holy hands. Lord, we lift up our hands to you, to worship you and to serve you. We lift up our hearts to you, for you already know the thoughts and the desires of our hearts. We lift up our heads to you, for you're the lifter of our heads. We lift up our lives to you. Come fill us afresh today. With the power of your word, the power of your Holy Spirit, the life of your word, the life of your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that today you blow away every chaff and you leave behind the wheat, the kernel of your word at work, sown into good soil of our hearts today for your glory. Amen. Wow. Well, we are in Luke 5 today. I love the Word of God. Oh, I'm glad two more of you do as well. That's great. Where two or three are in agreement, God's at work. I love the Word of God. It changes things. It changes situations. It changes circumstances. It changes destinies. It changes the world. And today we're in Luke 5. I'm going to launch straight into the word. So Luke chapter 5 verse 1 to 6. So it was that the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. He sat down, and he taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, everybody say nevertheless. Oh, it's a great word. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. And if you've been reading the life of Elohim Church, we had on there for I can't remember how many weeks, that Connect was launching. And when Charlene and I were looking at how to put the back of the life of Elohim Church together, and the Connect info was there, I said to Charlene, oh, we just need some declaration over Connect. And launch was the word that we came up with. I see Charlene is now still running with the word, because Identified is launching next week as well. And you'll see that Connect has launched. And it's a great thing to launch into the things of God. And so when I was really praying, God, help us to really get a grip of your word today, what it is that you're calling us to, how it is that we're to activate this launching into the new things, launching Connect, launching Identified, launching into the things of the kingdom on earth as they are in heaven. Help us, oh God. And I was praying through Luke 5 this week, and just, I mean, we know this story, don't we? Most of us know this story. And God is just so amazing in how he unpacks his word, brings fresh life, fresh revelation, and a new layer of connection. And so we today are going to look at what it is to launch out into the purpose of God. And here in Luke 5, we see that this miraculous catch is symbolic of the ingathering of the evangelistic initiative, when a people will connect with the purpose of God in saying, we want to see the kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. And then we see that the challenge to the church is still the same as the challenge was to Simon Peter and the fishermen. Launch out. Launch out. Launch out. The challenging mandate is still the same as it ever was. The commission and the mission is still the same as it ever was, because it just doesn't change. Go into all the world and make disciples. The call is still the same. It resounds through eternity to us here in this place today. And Jesus is still speaking to disciples. Have we got any disciples in the house? Oh, too few, too few. Have we got any disciples in the house? Yes. It's something more than a believer. It's something more than a church attender. It's someone who will obey the word of their master. Peter uses the word, and he knows what it is. Master. It's a great word. It's great when God is the master of your destiny. It's great when God is the master of your life. It's great. It's life in all its fullness. And when we hear what God is saying, he's speaking to us here today. Launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for the catch. Elohim Church, launch out into the deep. Let down your nets. Wow. It's great, isn't it? It's awesome. And when the church understands the command and the commission to go and is obedient to launch out, we're going to see, I'm going to use this word that Eric Casto brought right into our context, we are going to see unprecedented salvation. When the church is revived in the spirit, and the church lives in revival, and the church reaches out with the compassion of God, we will see that revived life released into communities, and we will see the amazing revolutionary spirit-led revival that I hunger for, and I'm believing for, and I'm living for, and I don't want to die till I see it. And that mandate of Christ to launch out into the deep is a call for the whole church. Not just the evangelist or the person who's got that tag. And we're going to see how it affects the whole church. And it means that the whole church, and Connect specifically, has a focus on that mandate for mission. And we asked last week, who felt called to nations? And it was amazing to see so many people in such a small church stand with a call in their heart for nations. But each and every one of us can stand to say, the call for mission is to me. Jesus has called us all to mission. The missionary mandate to go into your Jerusalem and your Judea and your Samaria. That's your Ibstock and your Barlston and your Desford and your nation, and see the kingdom of God extended. We don't build the church, but we do extend the kingdom of God. And it is going to take the whole church to land this one. It is going to take the whole church moving in unity. Have you got a sense of expectancy? I've got such a sense of expectancy. At the half night of prayer, there was just such a sense of God stirring something in our hearts and stirring something in our spirits that he was about to launch us into something. And so it's a now time. It's a now time for the church of the living God, not just this church, the church of the living God, to launch out with expectation and let down the nets at his command for that unprecedented supernatural catch for the kingdom. But here in this place, we've been hearing a bit of a twin directive. There's launch out, and there is also stretch out. So there's Luke 5 and Isaiah 54. There's launch out into the deep, and there is stretch out to the left and the right. And Connect embraces this twin directive of Luke 5 verse 4 and Isaiah 54 and verse 2. And with both of those, there's a sense of immediacy, launch out, stretch out. There's just a sense of purposefulness, launch into something, stretch out for something. And so that ringing word from Jesus, that command to his disciples here, is a now word. No more wallowing about in the shallows of complacency, because God is calling us to go deeper. And the call is to each of us, whatever our age, whatever our part of the journey. When Jesus said this to Peter, he'd hardly been journeying with Jesus at all. When he spoke to these words to Peter and worked this amazing, unprecedented miracle, Peter was not yet a disciple. And yet, God spoke to him and nevertheless blessed him in an amazing and unprecedented way. And so we need to be a people stretching out and launching out willingly with sacrificial, confident commitment to what God has called us to. Leaving behind not only the shallows, but all Laodicea and lukewarmness, which is just death to faith. Give me a people of passion. We need to be a people of passion, prepared for possession. Yes. It's kind of, we were talking with some ministers only this week about something that they see in the church body here, the dynamic of prayer, the sense of building something in the spirit, the cultural pillars, the missionary focus of Connect. And there was just something so burning in me to urge them to stir prayer, because nothing is going to happen without prayer. We'll be just people doing it in our own strength, and nothing is going to come forth when we do stuff in our own strength. It's just flesh. And as we stir the church to pray, as we stir ourselves to pray, something of the passion of Jesus. You know, Jesus was passionate. I can't imagine Jesus going, okay, let's have a bit of a prayer meeting then, shall we, guys? No, it was like, couldn't you even stay awake for an hour? Come on, pray. You know, and your spirit is wanting to pray. Your spirit urgently desires to pray. And the call to each of us is to become passionate about the purpose and the call of God and launch out into the deep to live in revival. You know, revival isn't something, kind of a concept that's out there or over there or somewhere else. Revival is God's purpose for his people. Spirit breathed. God ordained destiny. We're to live life in all its fullness. Well, if Jesus said that, he meant it. We're not meant to live half a life. We're meant to live life in all its fullness. Our joy is supposed to overflow. Passion is our purpose. Oh, come on. It's good news. And so, launching into the deep as we obey and hear that word. When we launch into the deep, we actually start to prioritize. Who prioritizes their life right now? You really need to, don't you? It's kind of, my goodness, what's going to take priority today? The Word of God. If that is first, everything else will fall into place. If it's not first, everything else will fall down. And so, when we prioritize the Great Commission and the Great Command, then we start to see why God is preparing us for launching out and stretching out. Isaiah 54 was spoken to the barren, to those who'd seen no fruit and had no hope of fruit. Stretch out the curtains of your tent. Stretch out ready for growth. Get strong inside. Strengthen stakes. Lengthen cords. Stretch for something because it's worth it. Get stretched, stretch out. And here when Jesus was talking to Simon, well, to Simon at that point, Simon was like, but we've already fished all night long. We've already done that. We've been there, done that. It did not work. And then something kicks into him. Nevertheless, despite all that, despite everything that I see with my physical eyes, I am listening to my master, the God of my soul, who's telling me that something's going to happen. I'm going to believe that something's going to happen. I'm not going to believe the negative report. I'm not going to see what I've seen before. I'm going to see something different because Jesus has said so. Whoa. Nevertheless, let's be a nevertheless people, shall we? Nevertheless, the call to launch out into the deep is to get in there in agreement. The call to stretch out is to get out there in unity. Wow, it's such a twin dynamic. I was so excited when I was thinking, whoa, oh my God, this is awesome. Because the catch will take everyone into a new dynamic of coming alongside, of needing to get in and help with the harvest. And as we look at the mandate to launch out and let down, the command to enlarge and stretch out, we realize that they're not suggestions. Jesus didn't kind of say, well, how about it? Give it a go, it might work. No, it was a directive. Launch out into the deep. He just stopped speaking to multitudes. He was preaching the kingdom of God. He was sending forth the word of God to multitudes. And then he turns individually to Simon with a clear directive. One to one, launch out. Launch out. Do you know what? Simon had been listening to the greatest preach that could ever have gone forth. And there's a challenge in that, isn't there? Okay, Simon, you've heard it. Are you going to launch into it? The greatest preach from the greatest preacher, the very word himself, sent forth a challenge into the heart of Simon. Whoa, he's in my boat. He's one-to-one with me. He's talking to me. He's speaking into my heart, my life, my context, my situation, my desolation, my hopelessness, my emptiness, my lack. He's speaking right into it. Launch out. Launch out. Launch out. Wow. If we're going to respond to that, it's going to take a dual commitment of obedience and sacrifice. There's Simon, fished all night, cleaned his nets, ready to go home. And he turns around, there's a man in his boat. Get off of my boat. I'm going home. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I need to get to sleep. I need to have something to eat. Get off my boat. But then he sees it's Jesus. And he's heard Jesus in the temple. And Jesus has been to his house. And Jesus has healed his mother-in-law. And the heart of Simon responds to his Jesus. Despite being tired, despite being weary, despite being hungry, despite being ready to go home, despite wanting to give up fishing at this moment in time, he gets in the boat. He listens as Jesus speaks to multitudes, the words washing over Peter. I can just imagine him growing stronger inside. I can imagine Jesus feeding his hunger. I can imagine the strengthening. Strengthen the stakes. Strengthen that that's within. Strengthen what little remains. Strength comes in because the word of God is washing over Peter. Wow. God, I've tried it all. I've done it all before. We've tried it all before. We've raised tents before. We've done it. And nevertheless, that's past. I see what you see, oh God. I see the unprecedented harvest. I see revival in your church. I see salvation. I see baptism. I see disciples. Whoa, I see the harvest coming home. When Jesus said to Simon, launch out into the deep, they were at Gennesaret, which is on the northern shore of Galilee. It's a beautiful place. But it's a very sheltered place. It's like a huge cove and the hills, the Galilean hills are behind it. And such a perfect place for Jesus to go out onto the water, which carried his voice. And the hills made that great amphitheater. And the cove was so sheltered and so safe and so shallow. The command was get out of the shallows, Peter. Get into the deep. That's where you will bring in the catch. Stop paddling about on the shallow shoreline. Push out. Push in. Push on. Launch out. Stretch out. Let down whose net? Let down your net. Your net. And launching out into the deep requires us, just as it required Peter, to get out of the comfort zone. We've got a big sign over the stairs. If you ever go up to the children, I'm sure you'll have seen it. And I bought it just before Christmas when God said, you're entering a season of impossibilities. I was like, whoa, that means it's possible because you've spoken it. Anything that's impossible for man is possible when you speak it, oh God. And it says, life begins when you get out of your comfort zone. The fishing began when they got out of the comfortable, shallow area into the deeper things of God. We need to abandon our cozy harbors of security and complacency to launch out into the deep, perhaps more dangerous, perhaps more challenging waters. that lake, the Sea of Galilee, is not always calm. Peter knew that. Launching out into some waters that aren't always calm is the place where going deeper with God, where deep calls to deep, where the deep things of God come forth, and there the more plentiful promises are found. The deeper things of God. When you launch out into the Word, when you dedicate yourself to read, God just unpicks layer upon layer upon layer, a deeper sense of His Word, deeper sense of purpose for your own life. But notice, Jesus didn't say, throw out your net and fish. Not in my Bible anyway. It says, let down your net. You're not reading it, are you? Somebody's normally told me what it says by now. Let down your net. Let down your net. It's a promise. It's not go fishing perhaps. It's a promise. Let down your net for a catch. Oh, nets, actually, it's plural. Let down your nets, more than one, for a catch. Promised. Wow. What has God promised us? We've been fanning into flame those promises of God, haven't we? We've been pondering the Word in our heart, and we've been praying into being the promises of God, the things that we see that He has promised us. But Simon Peter could probably have let down his nets where he was. He was already in the water. But there was a condition, there was a launching out, a pushing off, a going into the deep. And then it's catching time. The catch is dependent on the launching out and the letting down of the nets. And as I was thinking of this, I was really thinking to how without the working together of a life of obedient faith, you know, we can have faith and not be obedient. It is possible. We know it, but don't do it. Without the working together of obedient living faith and the dynamic taking action, the letting down of the nets, there's no catch. So we need that life of obedient faith to launch out into the deep, and that dynamic faith in action of the letting down of the nets, the work, the W-O-R-K word. It was pretty hard work. It was not an easy job. But do you know what? Yeah, adventure. And Peter was just never risk averse, was he? He wasn't health and safety conscious, was he? Who was the one who stepped off the boat? Oh, if it's you, Jesus, I'm coming. He just was not risk averse. He didn't count the cost first to see if it would be comfortable. He was lopping off ears in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was, like, you know, setting up booths on the Mount of Transfiguration. Man, he was busy. He was everywhere with Jesus. And the minute he got back with that catch, he left everything. Wouldn't you just think your most successful business venture ever? Such a big catch of fish. I've got the blueprint from God. I know exactly where to fish. I know exactly when to fish. We've been doing it wrong all along. We've been fishing at night. No. Midday, after a preach, out we go. When he got back, he left it all. Everything. He left everything to follow Jesus. Wow. Working time directives were never big on Peter's agenda. Don't think he ever would have worn a hard hat. He'd have been in there, up and at him. Come on, Jesus, you can raise this girl from the dead. Come on, Jesus, you can heal these lepers. I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with him. Can you imagine it, can't you? I'm with him. Wow. Glory. Radical risk based on a sure and certain faith in Jesus are true hallmarks of Peter's life. Something of a Bear Grylls of the Bible, Pastor Shane. Do you know what? This is a huge departure, but there's on the TV this morning, because like everybody else, I was wanting to find out about this three-year-old boy and really praying into that dreadful situation. And there was a father on there whose 16-year-old son has just made it to the South Pole. It's like, whoa. And somebody said, well, weren't you worried about sending your 16-year-old off to the South Pole? And this dad just laid everything out. He said, there's something of the spirit of adventure in him. And it was like, you know, we pamper our kids. We think they can't do anything. And we want to look after them. And there's this dad launching out his 16-year-old son in the spirit of adventure, trekking for 7 weeks to the South Pole. And I'm like, wow, something was just stirring up in me, you know. It was like, come on, God, you want your kids out there on those adventures. You want your kids able to say, I made it. You want your kids able to do awesome things. You know, we want to raise up kids who live a life of adventure, not who play a second life on Xbox or Facebook or sit all day glued to a computer screen, missing out on the realities of living a life of adventure. Send your kids out. Send them out into the deep. Launch them out into the adventure of faith. Connect them with the purpose of evangelism. We've got a great ID group here. They're raising up champions. Jesus wants Peters. He wants to raise up men and women of adventure who are not risk averse, but who step out in faith and not foolishness. Wow. It's faith is never really spelt R-I-S-K, because faith does what God says. You have to chew that one over for yourself. Is it dangerous sometimes? Yes. Does it cost you your life sometimes? Yes. But it's not a risk. It's something sure and certain. God said it is going to bring good from it. God said it, he's going to do it. God's prepared a place for you. Get there. Glory! Sure and certain faith. Simon says, I keep saying Peter, he's not been called Peter yet. Simon says, but because you said it, I will do it. God, you've said it, I'll do it. You've said it, that settles it. I'm going to sell everything. Ooh, ouch. I'm going to leave everything behind to follow you. Wow. I'm going to make it on this life of adventure. I'm not going to be denied my inheritance. I'm not going to be denied my legacy. Everything I have, I'm going to put into ensuring the great command, the great commission gets fulfilled. Wow, give us that spirit, oh God. I just love Peter's response. Luke 5 and verse 5. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and we've caught nothing. It wasn't a declaration over his life. It was a declaration over what had been. He didn't get caught in that place. His faith statement was, nevertheless, at your word, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Do you know what? He got Peter. He got Jesus in the boat with him. I reckon Jesus went on the fishing trip. I think Jesus was just showing what he meant when he said, I'll make you fishers of men. Because do you know, not that very much longer later, when Peter did have to go through a dark season of the soul, when he'd seen his master hang on the cross and then come to resurrection life And Peter went even deeper in the understanding of the purpose of God. He saw the nets break again. 3,000 added to the church. Do you think he knew what Jesus meant then when he said, I'll make you fishers of men? What a great picture. Simon not only had enough to fill his boat out of his net, but to fill the other boat that had to come out and help. What a picture of the church in revival. What a picture when this place is too full and we have to say to somebody, there's a great church over the road. Awesome. What a picture when another church rings us up and says, we've got too many people. You flow in the same worship dynamic. Can you help us? And we have to say, we'll find somewhere for them. We're full at the minute. We're building another extension. Come on. When Jesus says it, we say we will do it. You know, this faith of Peter is sure and certain, isn't it? You've said it, Jesus. I'm going to do it. You've said it. It's going to happen. What's Jesus said to you? What promises has Jesus made to you? I'm not talking about things you'd like him to have said. I'm talking about things in your heart that you know are a promise from God. We can take the Great Command and the Great Commission as one to us all, every disciple. But there are things that God speaks into our hearts that we have tried and not worked. But Jesus has said it. Yeah. Nevertheless, when he says, okay, now we need to do the now thing and launch out into it. Simon's decisive declaration of faith was coupled with decisive action of faith. Peter was a professional fisherman. He knew it was useless to try and fish in the light of day in a clear lake. He was a professional fisherman. He knew the best time to fish was in the dark at night while the fish were near the top, while they were feeding. I can come fishing with you now, know it all. He knew that it was not a good time to go fishing. At that moment, it wasn't convenient either. He was tired. His nets were clean. Why do I want to get my nets dirty again? I'm going to have to clean them again and mend them again. And it's not the right time, and it's not convenient, and it's not comfortable. But nevertheless. You know, God never gives us less, does he? I've even typed it out on here. Never-the-less! Because even in just typing that, I got such a revelation. There's never less with Jesus. There's always more. Woo! Never-the-less. Whatever I give up, he says, nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Peter demonstrates a master class of faith. Faith in the impossible. Faith in the ridiculous. What Jesus had said was really out there, and I don't think even now we comprehend how out there it was. Glory. Peter had done everything he knew how to do, and he could have said, you're the carpenter, I'm the fisherman. Stick to wood carving and tables. You can make me a boat, but don't try to teach me how to fish. But nevertheless, master, he called him. Master, you know best. You know better than I do. How we need to say that. God, you know better than I do. You know best. But do let's remember he'd just gone out after a stirring speech, after an amazing preach, after the word of God was preached. He launched out for miracles. Signs and wonders follow the preaching of the word. And do you know what? He so unhesitatingly obeyed, he was so overwhelmingly blessed. What does obedience bring? Blessing. Woo! Maybe like Peter, we've fished too long in those unproductive shallows and comfortable safe harbours and missed out on the blessing. Wow. This kind of launching out into the deep doesn't depend on human wisdom or cleverness or programmes. It depends entirely on hearing the word of God. On hearing Jesus speak and then obeying him. And do you know what? He's so good. He's so gracious that for the times that we heard him speak and did not obey, nonetheless, he still speaks. Nonetheless, he's still gracious. Nonetheless, he still has a destiny. Nonetheless, he still has those promises because he's promised they won't fail, though we might. Those promises won't fail. He will never fail us. We may have tried it. We may have spent long hours at it. We may have spent hours in the dark at it. We may have come home tired, weary, hungry, and with nothing. But nevertheless, nonetheless, he's still speaking. He's still sending forth the command to launch out and to enlarge. And just as we've enlarged this place and stretched out by launching out into the deep, we're going to see that unprecedented harvest come home. I can see it. I can taste the salt on my lips. I can just get a real sense of the children coming and the young people leaving behind the things of the world because there's revival. I see the band of hope that have marched down this road in days gone by, processing with a banner of hope, making a declaration, give us your children at the time of such need. That well, that ancient anointing still rests right here in this place. That deep well of God's longing heart to see the church revived is still here in this place. And because Jesus says so, because Jesus said so, we are going to see it here in this place. Pastor Colin has said he's not going to die before he sees revival. I'm with him. I'm with him. I'm with him. We're not going to die till we've seen revival, till we see the in gathering. And that immediate responsive blessing came straight away. So brimful of truth for the church. So brimful of life for the church. Not just the boats brimful, but promises for the church. When we follow Jesus, he takes full responsibility for making us fishers of men. I thought it was good, Hazel. Thank heaven I don't have to go and sit mindlessly by the edge of the lake in the park. I'm just going to read Matthew 4:19. Jesus said, I'll make you a fisher of men. I'll make you something. I'm going to do it. Let me work in you. I'm going to do it. All God needs is obedient, available lives, and he's going to arrange the details of the fishing trip. We just need to get out there. And the message of these two verses is so powerful and so relevant to us. When he'd stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Carry on. because it's so exciting. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Ah, it's a long way from shore. Dangerous stuff. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." He saw something of the holiness, the might, the majesty, the glory of his God and recognized the grace of his God. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. We're going to be astonished at what Jesus can do, because he does more than, never less than. We're going to be astonished at what he does. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And so also our other churches who are partners are going to be astonished at what Jesus is doing and will do. And this is the word. And Jesus said to Simon, and he says to you, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. We see fellowship and partnership. The coming together of the boats. The unity of the church. It's going to take everybody to land this end time harvest catch. God's ready. He's waiting. Are you willing?
Yes.
There's just one thing to consider. The amount of work there was in cleaning those fish when they got to shore. Extraordinary productivity produces extraordinary challenges. Breaking nets, sinking boats. Ah! Loads of fish to clean before they go off. The challenge to leave all and follow him. But there in verse 10, he says the word that we need to hear. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Come, follow me. I'll make you into something. I'll make you a fisher of men. And just as he did with Peter, Peter saw that harvest of salvation. He saw it. He must have known in his heart and in his spirit that it was worth leaving all to see that. I'm confident that as we launch out into the deep, as we give all, we don't let tiredness take a hold of us. We don't let past experience take a hold of us. We don't let the toil and the work take a hold of us, but set our sights above all of those things on the things of God, that we will see the harvest, because that is what God has promised.
Yes, amen.
He's promised his church.
Yes.
His radiant bride.
Yes.
He's promised her that he's with her. Yes. And you know, when Jesus is in the boat, anything's possible.
Yes.
Everything's possible.
Yes.
Are you up for it?
Yes.
If you're up for launching out, let's stand up.
Yes.
If you're up for stretching out, let's do just that. Give yourselves a good stretch. In Isaiah 54 and in Luke 5, Jesus speaks this dual word into a context where there is barrenness and emptiness, and he brings his fullness. He speaks to multitudes. And he talks directly to individuals. He spoke out to the multitudes at Gennesaret, and he spoke directly into Simon's heart, and something happened. Pastor Shane already asked us to let God speak into our heart this morning. And those of you who said, yes, God had spoken to you, know that what he said, he'll do. There are some of us that we've been fishing before, and it was hard work. Nothing much seemed to happen. It was cold, it was dark, and we got tired. And in the words of that great Godfrey Birtle song, it's time to stop washing our nets on the shores of unbelief. It's time to listen for the word of God and launch out into the kingdom things. Launch out as fishers of men. You don't need a great technique. You just need to say, nevertheless, at your word, O God. Nevertheless, I'm going to speak to those people at work. Nevertheless, I'm going to speak to my neighbours. Nevertheless, I'm going to speak to my family. Nevertheless, I'm going to speak to my friends. Nevertheless, because you've promised more. And that just takes a radical determination. Obedient faith and determined action. Simon didn't know very much at this point, but he knew enough to know that God was God and Jesus was his master. And if there's anybody in this house who doesn't yet know that God's God and Jesus is their master, there's always an opportunity to come into that awesome place of receiving the salvation that Jesus won for us, and the power of the Holy Spirit that God sent for us, and the love of God, which is his to us. And once we have done that, once we have that, we have all that we need to do all that he's called us to do. I'll give you the opportunity today to think on these things and determine to launch out into the deep, to go deeper with God this week, to read more fully into his word, to be deeper in prayer with him, to set your priorities in order that the things of God are in the right place so that everything else comes into place and into alignment with the purpose of heaven. It's a step, it's a start, it's pushing your boat out for Jesus. Listen for his word and be quick to obey. Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, let your word produce 30, 60, 100 fold fruit. Bring forth the fruitfulness in each life here today. We curse barrenness and declare fruitfulness. Thank you, Jesus, for productive lives. Revive us afresh. Breathe on us, breath of God. Blow away all tiredness. Blow away all despair. Blow away all of our past experiences that we may enter into the new day, the new mercy. Today and every day. Jesus be glorified.